pleasure on behalf of all of you to welcome this afternoon's session. This session is about self-empowerment. So let's begin. First of all, this important issue of empowerment and self-empowerment. Can I begin with you, Sister Jayanthi? Tell me, what do you understand, or what's the meaning of self-empowerment?
I'd like to begin with an expression you were hearing in the song, Om Shanti. And what that means is Om, I am, Shanti, peace. So Om Shanti to all my sisters and my brothers here today. And empowerment to me means a state in which I'm able to be the master of my own thoughts, so that my mind doesn't go crazy taking me to the past when I want to put a full stop to it, or causing anxiety and fear about the future when I know that I have to get on with what I need to at the present. So it means being the master of my mind. It means being the master of my feelings, so that situations don't throw me overboard, but control. It's an external influence that's going to then at some point break loose. But it means understanding the self and learning how to use one's own energies in the highest way possible, which is a bit different.
Okay. Sister Shivani, let's put it in the context of the Brahma Kumaris. What is the Brahma Kumaris concept of empowerment and self-empowerment?
Om Shanti and good afternoon. Self-empowerment is the in thing nowadays. Everyone is talking about it and we're reading about it. But everywhere when we talk about self-empowerment, we talk at the level of thoughts, you know. We're talking of positive thinking and we're talking of transformation of quality of thoughts. And somewhere down the line we find it a little challenging. We say, yeah, we know positive thinking is good for me, but how do you do it? You know, negative thinking is just coming so naturally. So, and the Brahma Kumaris, we're just working a little deeper. We're not talking at the level of thoughts, but we're talking at the source of the thoughts. And that is our belief systems, our personality traits, which in Hindi is a very beautiful word, which is called sanskars. Unless I work at the root, you know, thoughts is like the branches of the tree, but the roots are my personality traits and my belief systems that I hold in life. So the Raj Yoga meditation, which we learn at the Brahma Kumaris, helps us to work at changing, first checking and then changing my belief systems and these very deep personality traits that I hold. Then I do not have to work on my thoughts. The thoughts get transformed naturally.
Now, you have an interesting background. You joined and you changed your career. You started as an engineer. You moved now into preaching and clearly meditating and being involved directly with Brahma Kumaris. How has the life for you changed through empowerment? Give us some personal experience.
First and foremost, a little clarification. It's not a change of career here. It is my profession as an engineer and as a software professional still continues. So that's one part, yeah, which is still there. And I'm with my family. And whatever I have learned and studied at the Brahma Kumaris, whenever I get the opportunity, I love to share it with everyone. It's not preaching exactly, but it's interaction, it's meeting and it's sharing, so that we're all learning together. So self-empowerment, yes, in my, it gives me, today in today's time when everyone is saying that, you know, so difficult to balance professional life, personal life, and how do we manage time and how are we going to do all this? And especially with crisis in terms of the market and business and recession. And it's in situations like this that you realize, okay, situations are challenging outside, but the mind is stable. Yes, there is a little chaos outside, but internally, we're absolutely fine. And that is coming with this long-term practice of meditation and inculcating those principles of spirituality. So you don't really have to talk about how to balance. It just blends in very beautifully. It's a very natural flow of the way the whole thing goes.
But does it, did it help you personally in terms of the way you looked at issues?
Personally, I'm a different person altogether. 12 years back, I mean, of course, there's so many things which changed, but 12 years back, someone says something to me and they can't get away with it. No, they can't.
Yes.
I will not let them. And if there was some, you know, argument at home and I was the type who could just push away my dinner plate and walk off from the dining table, slam the door and then knock talk to my parents till they come and apologize.
And that happens every day.
You know, that's the personality. Very argumentative. Very. Everyone said, you're a lawyer, you keep arguing the whole day. You know, but then by that time I thought I was right. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I was very proud of the way I was. But now it's a different picture altogether.
Just stretch on that one where you had an incident, and I'm sure those incidences happen in daily life of a lot of people who are listening to us today, that anger that comes from the basis you're not able to respond. But you had a different approach after that. Once you've dealt with the anger and left it and gone away, but then how do you then deal with it and say, no, I'm going to challenge that. I'm going to empower myself to challenge that situation. How do you do that?
It's no more about situations. We're not looking at situations at all. Situations come, situations go. If you try and prepare yourself according to situations, then your focus and your attention is always on the situation. It's all about taking care of myself. You know, I've realized one thing with spirituality, and that is, in any situation, there is one thing which is in my control, and there is one thing which is not in my control. So the situation or the person opposite to me is not in my control. The only thing that's in my control is my state of being. But normally what used to happen earlier, we used to not take care of our state of being. We thought of controlling situations and other people. And as a result, situation also out of control and I also out of control. So now situations are there, challenges are there. We just take care that I am not going to get disturbed. First thing, only to take care, stability. Self-empowerment for me is just one word, stability.
So it's not immediate reactive to a situation, is to sit back and really reflect on that.
It's a response. You know, any situation generates a response from me in terms of a thought. The only thing earlier was an automated response. You know, if someone shouts at me, obviously I have to get hurt. If someone says something rude, obviously I have to get angry. So everything was very obvious. So we were more in an automated mode of responding. Now it is a conscious, chosen response. This is the situation, but I have a choice how to respond. The most challenging situation, think of any situation, we still have a choice how to respond. Now it's all about creating that choice and then responding. It's not about sitting back, you know, like you said, just sitting back, reflecting. No, situation demands a response, but choose the response which is beneficial first for me and obviously then for the situation.
Sister Jayanti, let's just stretch on that one. You have and must have faced various situations in your life around the similar issues as Sister Shivani has just explained. Give us an example of the sort of things you've had to deal with to so that you felt empowered, and how did you actually achieve that?
I'll tell you one particular story. At that point, I think this must have been in the late 70s, and by then the Brahma Kumaris Centre in London in the UK already had about 100 pilgrims that would travel to Mount Abu for our annual retreat each year. And we had tickets booked for a large group around December time. And this was before December became popular for travel, so it's the 70s. And the airline told us that they'd fixed our seats and etc., etc. And then the airline told us that they were going to have to change the dates, because there were certain flights that were more popular than others. And so if our people want to travel on those, then there would be a surcharge. And I was a little bit disappointed because everybody had booked their holidays and everything was fixed. And I was trying to speak to them on the phone and it wasn't working. I then decided I'd go see them. And I did this and they kept me waiting. And, you know, the waiting game is sometimes by chance, you know, they're busy. But sometimes it's calculated. It's designed to keep you in suspense and maybe make you more anxious. And I suspected that that was the case. But with my training, what I thought is, well, how should I face this? And is it because they're dealing with a woman and they think that, you know, they can have the upper hand? Is it because they're dealing with an Indian? Is it because they're dealing with somebody who is spiritual? So all of these questions were in my mind. And the question I had for myself was, well, like Shivani, I can be pretty fiery. And so I could very well have said to them, you know, this is not right. This is, you know, we've got a contract with you and you can't suddenly do this to us. And I decided that I didn't want to change my principles for their sake. What I had to do was to maintain my own inner calm and use the power of silence to be able to do what was right. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was what was right. And so that opportunity of keeping me waiting gave me a chance to sort things out inside. And by the time the manager came, and he didn't look me in the eye at first. He couldn't. And we have a training for self-empowerment, which is called soul consciousness, awareness of the inner being. So the inner being, the soul here, and I was very deeply soul conscious, and I was seeing him also as a soul. And the vibrations of soul consciousness work in their own way. And from the point of just being blustery and wanting to get rid of me and not looking at me, he calmed down. And then he started to communicate. And when I explained why it is that people were going, it wasn't a holiday, it was a pilgrimage, he began to listen properly. And he said, okay, let me see what we can do to help you. And things got shifted around. And not a single person lost a single day's holiday, because that was what was at stake. They were missing out 4 days, 5 days of their holiday time. And I realized that if I can have that inner awareness of my own state of inner peace, then that peace can be transmitted to another individual and it can actually change the situation. If I'd got upset, I wouldn't have got anywhere. If I'd got angry, it'd have caused a huge problem. But maintaining my inner balance of calm and peace, the right results happened.
But wouldn't some people consider this as a weakness rather than a strength, because you've not challenged? You know, you've had a different approach. And quite often people in the environment feel, well, that's a weakness.
Well, this is exactly the process I was going through. Are they seeing me as somebody who's a yogi and therefore they can run over me? So this is exactly what I thought. And I decided that my strength was my calm. My strength was Om Shanti. And I would use the power of silence and the power of Om Shanti to achieve that which was justice and that which was right. And that's exactly what happened.
So Shivani, just on the issue about power, which is what we were talking about, it is very easy in this empowerment debate, people quickly to lose power. What are the circumstances and how do we deal with where people feel, well, I've lost power, I'm not in control?
Like we discussed earlier, there are always two things. One is situation and one is my state of being, how I am feeling. And when I try to control the situation always means other people. And all of us know from experience how much can we control other people. You know, let's say someone standing opposite to me has just lost his temper and is shouting and using insulting language or foul language. And I try to control that person. how well will I be able to do that? And then I feel this person is not in my control. And trying to control that person, I have lost my state of stability. I'm either hurt or rejected or angry. So I have lost control over my state of being. So overall, over a period of time, I start feeling nothing is in my control. Events not in my control, situations not in my control, my children not in my control, my husband not in my control, forget everything else, my own state of mind not in my control, nothing in my control. And this gives a feeling of powerlessness, hopelessness, that what kind of life is this? Nothing is in my control. And that's only because my focus is in controlling those things which are actually not in my control. And empowerment would be, just look at that one thing which is in my control. Today, everyone would come up with a unanimous statement when they will say, if there's one thing which is not in my control, they'll say it's my own state of mind. We can manage people, we can manage work, money, time, but managing self is a big challenge. And that's when we start feeling this disempowerment, because nothing is in my control.
But when people are at the low ebb, in the way that people you're trying to express through anxiety, stress or whatever, the last thing people begin to think, I need to take control, or I have the power to do something myself. How do you convince people, or how, what people do they need to do in order to overcome that and say, yeah, I can do something better?
It's just about first realizing, let's say for a simple thing like the financial crisis, which most of us have been hit by, and almost every profession and every industry is going downwards. Psychiatry is one profession which is going this way. And I don't know about here, but in India, it says that in the last 30 years, they haven't had so many patients that they had in the last 6 months. Now, just to prove that, yes, the financial market, not in my control. But focusing all my energy on that, the other thing which was in my control, that's my thoughts and feelings, has gone out of control. And I'm sitting in front of the doctor taking medication. Third, if I don't take care of my thoughts and feelings, very soon it will hit my body. Physical ailment. Again, something which was in my control, but I didn't take care. And through all this frustration and depression, when I come home and meet family or my people at work, my relationships getting affected. So my emotional well-being, my physical well-being, and my relationships getting affected every day just because the market is going a little. Now, if I just realized at that time that yes, this is a situation which is not in my control, but at least I can take care of myself. It's just about focusing your attention in the right direction. So it won't happen when the situation hits. You know, right now if I'm in a crisis, I will not realize. But it's a little practice that has to be done beforehand. It's like saying, when you fall ill, you don't start exercising. You can't exercise once the disease hits you. It's better to do it while everything seems to be going okay. So just a few minutes of contemplation and introspection every day, and reminding myself that yes, I am the master of the situation. I am the master first of my mind. And then start with very little things. We shouldn't be looking at big challenges which we need to take care of. Very, very little things. Stuck in a traffic jam? Look at our state of mind. Traffic jam? Not in my control. State of mind? In my control. The lady who comes to clean the house not come today? Not in my control. Driver late? Not in my control. Very little, little things in which I allow myself to get disturbed and deplete a lot of my energy. If I start this conservation of energy on these small situations, then I will be fully loaded to face the big ones.
But how do you get people, let's talk about the economic conditions at the moment. A lot of families are going through a situation where, you know, people are losing jobs. In UK in particular is the case, and Leicester may be the case as well, but around the world same is the case. So the first thing that goes through somebody's mind who is either in a situation of either losing a job or has lost a job is money and finance. So everything else takes back seat in that instance. How do you then get somebody in that situation to be rethinking about other things that actually are equal value to just the finance that will bring the money into the family?
It's about, yes, we understand that losing a job is not a small issue for people. It's a very big thing. But yet at the same time, I need to ask myself, okay, I've lost one thing. Do I want to lose anything more? That's the question. Yes, I've lost one thing, and now I need all the energy so that I can, you know, bring myself back into getting what I have lost. But do I want to lose anything more? And most important, there would be my inner peace and stability, my family, my relationships, my health. And then I would be able to take care of myself. There's nothing much to do, actually. You know, we think it's very difficult. We think there's so much to do at that time. There isn't. It's just to remember that, yes, I have lost this one thing, but I'm still going to take care of myself, because only if I take care of myself is there a chance for me to be able to get a job. Look at the situation not as a problem, but as an opportunity. It's all about perspective. It's our perspective. The same situation could be looked at by somebody else as an opportunity, a change, a new thing in life to do. But I need energy for that. I need motivation. But if I've gone into a depression, I would even look at a small thing as a big chaos or a crisis in my life. So it's a question of my perception towards the situation.
Sister Jayanti, in a situation like that, where, let's say, main breadwinner is affected in the way, the family gets all affected. How do the family begin to deal with situation of empowering and helping the breadwinner over a situation of that kind?
I think that the appreciation of family is such a very beautiful thing. And when a person is just simply busy, busy, busy with work, there just isn't time to be able to even appreciate that. So at that moment, just to be able to reinforce the love of the family, the relationships within the family, and to be able to be together and appreciate the fact that we are a family together would give a lot of support and empowerment to the breadwinner. And I'm sure that, you know, if this family comes together and say, okay, what can we do now? We don't need to have a holiday. Maybe we don't need to spend money on this, that, and the other, and the other. I think then that one individual would feel the support and not feel that state of depression in which, what can I do? I've let my family down. And if they also treat that person with that attitude, now see what's happened, look what you've done. So I think it is a question of attitude at that moment. And just simply realizing that finances and work is one level of life. It isn't the beginning and the end. But the happiness of the family and relationships and quality of life is actually much more valuable. And if the quality of life is maintained and that happiness of the family is maintained, yes, then that individual is probably going to be empowered to go out with confidence and find a good job.
Shivani, in a situation like that, people who are normally very vibrant, very outgoing, get into a situation where they're disempowered because of whatever situation they're in. They lose their self-esteem, self-respect. How does one begin to deal with that?
First and foremost for that is, I need to know what my self-esteem is based on. As of now, our self-esteem is based on so much that we have acquired in our lifetime. That could be my position, my designation at work. It could be my salary. Again, I don't know here, but in India, what has happened suddenly is salaries have dipped by 50%, you know. And it's not so much about the amount that you're getting, because the amount you're getting is still sufficient to run the house. But it's about, oh, I was getting X, and now suddenly I'm getting half of that. And what will people think about me? You know, self-esteem is more based on all these issues. And that's why when these labels or these foundations on which we've established our self-esteem, each of us can ask ourselves today, what is my self-esteem based on? Self-esteem is how I feel about myself. And mostly that is dependent on how other people feel about me. It's always, I've realized, if you feel nice about me and you talk nicely about me, I feel good. And if you don't, If you say I'm a nice person, then I'm a nice person. And if you say I'm not, then I'm not. If you say I'm a failure, then I'm a failure. So somewhere I evaluate or I feel it's only based on what other people are saying. And suddenly when a situation like this hits, you're going to get a lot of, whether it's comments or at least vibrations from everywhere around you. And because I have not based my self-esteem on my own thinking and my own feelings, but based on what other people are going to think, so obviously it shakes at that time. Spirituality helps me to understand that the way I feel about myself is based on my inner being, my inner values. Yes, I've lost my job, I've lost everything, let's say the worst case, I've lost everything. But if I can still maintain my that stability, happiness, that inner power, then my self-esteem is very, very high. But if I get disturbed with the smallest of things, that means my self-esteem is very low. So that is a practice which will have to be done on this journey. I will take feedback from people, but I do not allow my mind to fluctuate with every opinion.